Good morning, 737, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons, he is the Chief Deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I am doing well. Hey, let's start with an internet rumor. Because, there's a lot of them.
You got to love them.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had seen this a couple of times, and I hadn't paid it much attention. And then somebody actually texted in here to the station yesterday, and they texted in and said, we're talking about mask laws and stuff like that, and mask requirements. And they said, Andrew, don't you realize that if you are a concealed carry permit holder and you carry a gun and you put on a mask, you run afoul of Chapter 816 of the Florida statutes? And my reply was, I do not think that's accurate because there is no 816. It actually skips over from 815 to 817. But sometimes these numbers change and it could be somewhere else. So I thought I would ask. I couldn't find anything to verify it at all. But, these are the kind of questions I ask you because you're the law enforcement officer. So if I'm a concealed carry permit holder, as you know I am, and I carry a weapon concealed properly, and I have a mask, is this in any way going to jeopardize me legally?
The short answer is no. And we get this question a lot also because people that are have carry concealed permits, they obviously understand the law. And they didn't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be the one that, to wear a mask and then be in violation of the concealed carry. But no, we certainly have no intention of enforcing that type of a statute. But here's the bottom line. You're not supposed to wear a mask outside of the whole pandemic. You're not supposed to wear a mask if you have intent to commit a crime or to intimidate or threaten someone. If you're wearing a mask as a result of a pandemic for your own safety, there is no violation there. So it does not nullify your concealed carry. We get this question a lot, and people are obviously concerned about that. And then, as you know, internet rumors continue to get, they flourish and then they get spread, and people just have a false sense of what the real intent is and what the rules are. I think if you look back at the mask carry, and I got this from Scott Lunsford also, when the tax collector had addressed this a couple of months ago.
Which, by the way, just for people, just to clarify, Scott Lunsford oversees the concealed carry permit issuance, and so this is very much within his domain. For people who don't realize, go ahead.
Exactly, and that also tells you how long this internet rumor has been going on. This has been a couple of months ago that Scott and I had this conversation. Originally, it was, again, that you're not supposed to wear a mask to intimidate or commit a crime. Later, there were two type of cases. One was saying you can't wear a mask, and the second one was to pretty much explain that it does not mean if you can't wear a covering of some sort if you don't have, bad intent. So it all covers, you're always covered if you're not trying to commit a crime, you're not trying to intimidate someone, or take advantage of another person. So the bottom line is the internet rumor is false, and it is not a violation. It does not, inhibit your ability to carry a concealed firearm if you're wearing a mask for your own protection, as long as you don't have a criminal intent.
So, in other words, if I'm an ordinary citizen with a CCP and I wear a mask into the store, no problem. If I am a bank robber and I carry a weapon and wear a mask, I'm going to be in trouble for the bank robbery and the mask because the mask is an element of me committing the felony.
That is correct. Again, it's all about the intent. If you intend to commit a crime, again, you can walk into a convenience store with a mask for the pandemic and there's no problem. If you're wearing a mask pretending that it's for the pandemic and then you rob the store, you can be charged with both, yes.
Very good. And that's what I figured, but this is why I like to ask the experts so we can get an answer to these persistent, unfortunately, internet rumors. On other matters, anything happened overnight law enforcement-wise that we don't already know about?
We had a burglary of a liquor store up in Century. Fusion Liquor Store was burglarized and looks like the safe was taken. So we're asking if anyone has the information about this burglary up in Century. Usually things are pretty quiet up in Century, but when the owner arrived back at the office, he found out that the window had been broken out and some items were taken from the liquor store itself. So if anyone has the information about this particular burglary, I'd appreciate them give us a call and let us know. We'd like to get these people caught and put them in jail.
Very good. And key distinction for people who might not understand the terms, a burglary is when there's no confrontation with another person. A robbery would be when you threaten or involve yourself physically with another person. And this was a burglary after hours that the person discovered it already happened. And so, you know, this is not like a holdup at the liquor store. This was a break-in and burglary, which is a good distinction to have. We also, and I, you know me, I hate to dwell on these cases, but there seem to have been several of them in the last day or two. I mean, one horrible story about a man threatening a woman's life and kidnapping her in her car. And, I mean, tell me what happened here.
Yeah, in May, we had a guy named DeAnthony Williams. He's 31-year-old. And he again, as you mentioned, he threatened a woman, and then he sexually assaulted this woman repeatedly, and then he made threats saying that, you know, she's not going to see her kids anymore. And if they do, it's going to be in a body bag. And basically he's just saying some terrible things to her and committing some terrible crimes. This happened in May. We had a warrant on him since May, but we were not able to locate him until recently. We had information where he might be. A deputy stopped and talked to him. He fled. But again, because the deputies were able to secure the perimeter, we found him hiding in a backyard in the area, and end up arresting him again. He was charged with a number of counts of sexual battery, kidnapping, false imprisonment, aggravated battery, larceny. He has some drug charges on him, and he remains in jail, and he'll answer for those particular crimes.
When I think of a story like this, I always imagine that this can't possibly have been his first crime. Does he have a track record or a history that you know of?
I don't have the information on his history now. I just know that he was fleeing from us because he knew what he had, at least he knew what he'd been alleged to have done.
Okay.
And we were able to capture him. So good job by the deputies.
And the other one that, again, and I really hate talking about kids' stories, but it's a reminder for parents, I think, and that's the value of it, is we had a 42-year-old Pensacola man who I don't want to get into details, but I guess he was also arrested and charged with molestation of an under 12-year-old. Is that right?
Yeah, again, as you mentioned, unfortunately, there are things that in law enforcement you see, and it just makes you wonder, you know, where we are as a society.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things. This individual was charged with molestation of a child under 12, and apparently it happened a few times. Our investigators have been on it for the last couple of days, and I was briefed on it about 2-3 days ago. And again, he's in jail now. And again, without getting into too many details,
sure.
A neighborhood child would come over to his house to play with a friend, and that's when the molestation would take place. So the investigation continues, and again, we're continuing to work on to see if there were potentially any other victims.
You know me, okay? I'm a fairly rational guy. I try not to let fear drive me, but I have kids. I don't have girls, but I have boys. And, you know, if I had girls, I might think a little differently about this. But when my kids go over to play at somebody else's house, it's always now this question of, how do I know who they are? How do I know my kids are safe? What can I do? So as a law enforcement professional, what kind of guidance would you give to families who are just trying to think through those kinds of risks and issues?
Well, I don't know that you can be too cautious. That would be what I would say. It's the same information we give on being aware of what your children are doing on the internet, who they're talking to. But it, you know, when they're really young, again, pay attention to where your children are. Ask those questions. Talk to the parents. I know that if I had a small child now, I wouldn't allow my child to go over someone else's house without me knowing who's home, meeting them, and then even then, I would continue to ask questions of my child. You know, so what are y'all doing? What's going on? What is the parents or the are there any grown-ups coming over there? I'd pay a lot of attention to that, and then obviously as kids get older, you know, they're of driving age, and you ask the same question about who their friends are. And then the same thing I mentioned before about the internet-type crimes and people that are lurking on the internet trying to victimize our children. So I just think that you can't be too cautious. If you think that you're hurting someone's feelings, that's not I would not concern myself with that. And I, as a parent, understood that you know, when the kids would come over to our house, I understand them asking a lot of questions. I understand, even if it's a family friend,
yeah.
to be honest with you. We have, unfortunately, have a lot of, I say a lot, we have had several cases in which family friends or even relatives were the persons that were arrested with this molestation or victimizing our children. So even if they're a family friend or even a relative, it's always good to ask questions, to pay attention, and to have those discussions with your children.
No, I completely agree, and it's just one of those things, like, you don't want to, I don't know, you don't want to make your kids have this idea that everybody's out to get them or put ideas in their head of horrible things, but you have to prepare your kids for this, and you have to talk to the adults, and you know, you still have to remain cautious because, unfortunately, people are liars. You know, the worst people are sometimes the best at lying, and so it's a challenge. I mean, it's difficult to figure this out. Chip Simmons, he is the chief deputy at Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, thank you so much for the time, as always. Thanks for what you do. We appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.